So I've come now to the point of what I've been heading towards, and this is the argument. It may or may not satisfy you, but it's an attempt to explore what we'll call a proof for the existence of God, a proof based on experience. I've called it Love is a Sacred Encounter. So let's examine some key aspects of this yearning and of the reality with which we find ourselves in communion when we're loving. Each of these aspects points to the existence of a transcendent, meaning beyond everything we experience directly, and immanent God. Then those two words are not contrary. Transcendent means beyond immediate experience. Immanent means present in the experience, while beyond it, present in it. Transcendent because we're not God, nor is any other object of our direct experience God. Immanent because we and everything around us exist only because we participate in the being of God. Whether we realize it or not, authentic human love necessarily involves communion with God. It is a sacred encounter. My aim here is not to prove the existence of God the way one might prove the existence of something by providing incontrovertible evidence that must convince anyone willing to attend to the evidence provided. That's what proof is in the scientific world, and great that it is like that, because it's measuring things that we can comprehend and enter into with our reasoned mind totally adequately if we're willing to do the work. The transcendent God cannot be put under a microscope. My aim is to invite you to attend to aspects of your own experience that might persuade you to continue to explore the mystery and not to dismiss it because it doesn't deal up the ready evidence that our empirically trained scientific minds have come to expect. It's bigger than all that, more mysterious than that. As love is, by the way. So let's look first at our yearning for communion that I've been talking about all morning. The yearning that drives all our connections with reality. It's clear that our experience of love never provides full satisfaction. For there are depths to our heart and to the world that remain to be explored. We've never arrived to total satisfaction in our love. The inner well seems bottomless. Our yearning seems limitless. Our longing for love seems inexhaustible. In brackets, you all know this, of course, better than I do, but if you expect one other person to totally satisfy your love, the pressure's too much. You're just asking far too much, and you're asking an impossibility. So it could end up being a kind of trap, really. When the yearning is partially satisfied, and it is whenever we are in love, at any level, really, we rightly conclude that it is not something that is merely subjective. The yearning isn't totally subjective because it actually works. The yearning takes us into loving, and that partly satisfies the yearning. That's our experience. We know we're not living in a world of fantasy. We can be sometimes when it's not real, but you know when it's real and it's not fantasy. Because you become more you, the other person becomes more them, you become freer, all that. You mature. We know that we're truly in communion with something real when we follow this yearning for love. However, we also know that our yearning is not fully satisfied. We long for a love that is unconditional, unrestricted, complete. That's what our being longs for. Our limited experience of love gives us reason to trust our yearning. It's not unreasonable. It's not reasonable then to trust that there, is it not reasonable to trust that there does exist a reality that accounts for the ultimate longing which we experience? A reality which is its ultimate object and which can fully satisfy us? If all the loves along the road are real and us gradually satisfying us, then we know this something that's in us, this yearning, is a reality. It's me. So why would we doubt its reality because its reality is unlimited? Why would our yearning be real and trustworthy in partial matters, but ultimately be unreal and deceptive? Why would we not explore the direction in which our experiences are pointing just because they point to a reality that transcends our present experience and so remains mysterious and beyond definition? That's my argument, for what it's worth. Furthermore, in light of what we've already said, since prayer is the name we give to this exploring, should we not expect prayer to be an experience of love? Of loving, perhaps better. To love is to respect the sacred in myself and the sacred in the other. It is mutual communion in the gift of self. Our longing for this communion is clearly real, but it's never fully satisfied. God alone, the sacred presence which we mysteriously discern in our heart and in the heart of those with whom we are in love, alone can fully satisfy this longing.